Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we are broadcasting live from Eagles training camp, back to camp from the Jefferson Health Training Complex inside a beautiful Forest River RV by Camping World. Kyle Quinn back in the studio. We got a lot to get to today. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia.
Hey, man, it's hot.
That is true.
Hey, I mean, I don't know what the hottest that's to slice that piece of pie, but it's deceivingly hot.
Thanks, Ollie.
Yeah. Hey, in the middle of the ball. It's hot.
What?
It's hot.
Well, you came in the RV today sweating. You were outside for a while, signing some autographs.
Felt like I had a wet T-shirt competition.
Well, that's an image right there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Good thing I got a workout in this morning because I'm about to take this shirt off in a minute.
No. Do you think you people are ready for that?
No, I'm just saying, I'm about to take this shirt off and shame a whole lot of folks my age because, I got a nice little workout in this morning.
The memes and screenshots on YouTube from that one would be wild. All right, welcome on in. We got a lot to discuss today. We will get to, obviously, huge Eagles news over the weekend with Lane Johnson telling us about his future. He's back, which is great, but his future means he won't be here for very much longer. We'll get to that.
6 months.
Uh-huh, six
Seven
more months.
Months. Seven
yeah,
months.
Something about Sean Mannion I heard this week. It caught my attention. And he'll have a lot to discuss. But we'll start with the Phils. Look. Not a great weekend. They pulled that one out yesterday, and they get one.
They look like they won a championship yesterday.
Well, not getting swept at home by the Blue Jays sometimes feels like that.
No, I get it. I'm okay with it.
I'm
okay with the celebration.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. They needed a win yesterday, and they probably felt good. They got out of there with one win and able to hold, as of today and as of this moment, a spot in the postseason. But, Hugh, I think every once in a while we reach a breaking point.
This is about to be bad.
Well,
the pregnant pause tells me.
I've reached a breaking point. I can't do it with Alec Bohm anymore. I'm done. I am ready to pull the plug on this guy as an everyday player for the Phillies. They probably should have pulled this plug months ago, if not years ago. He almost single-handedly destroyed this weekend. And when you think about his weekend, let's go through this chronologically. So Friday night, they have, Utley Knight. We'll play some of that as the show goes on. Great speech by Chase Utley. There's emotion in that building. People hang on through the rain delay. They go down. They fight back in that game and have a chance to win the game, or at least tie the game, but maybe win the game. And Luis Arraez has an incredible 10-pitch at-bat. Like one of those at-bats that you think about October when you think about that kind of Luis Arraez at-bat.
Yes.
And then up comes Alec Bohm.
Refuse to get struck out.
10-pitch at-bat by Arraez. So, that's kind of signals if you are a player with any sort of baseball IQ. You know what? I got to work the count here. This pitcher's probably all over the place. He might be tired.
Take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, let's not swing at the first pitch.
Read the room.
And hit it right into the ground. Well,
here's
Alec Bohm Friday night as I just decided I'm done with this guy.
Don Mattingly was asked the question earlier today during his media session about Alec Bohm and the number of double plays. And if they had thought maybe at all about changing this spot in the lineup following up Arraez, they're going to bring the infield in, are the Jays.
Alec Bohm needs to think about what he wants to swing at.
Bohm trying to deliver the tying hit, or maybe better. Here's a swing and a high chop. Clement into field. The throw home. It's not in time. Oh, they say he's out at the plate.
He blocked the plate.
Kirk able to block the plate, says John Tom Payne, and he gets the tag on Turner. Why?
you know what's the worst thing about that?
What?
Is everybody knew it was coming.
Everyone knew it was coming.
L.A. knew it was coming. Like, L.A. tried to say it as nice as he possibly could. Hey, you got to think about what you're going to do in this situation. You got to probably work the count.
It's a rookie mistake from a guy that just turned 30 years old last week. He's 30, everybody. This isn't Alec Bohm, still a young player. He is 30 years old. And he almost single-handedly destroyed this weekend. So Friday night, there's that. Let's go to Saturday night as they reconfigure the defense with this team. So this is now the first baseman of the team and cannot record a simple out by the bag at first base. Let's hear it Saturday.
And a 1-2 pitch. Check swing, little number towards first. Bohm over to Pickett, and he flips it back to Sugar. It's in and out of his glove. Everybody's going to be safe. And the Phillies twice tonight have flubbed the play between the pitcher and the first baseman. Earlier it was Nola and Schwarber. Here, Bohm and Sugart unable to get an out.
All Bohm has to do is pick it up and just turn and flip it to him.
And Bohm was looking at the other bases at that point. I'm not sure if he thought Clement was already going to be safe or what?
He should be able to see Clement right in front of him.
Yeah, he should have been. I mean, the at-bat Friday is a joke. The defense Saturday is a joke. Yesterday, inexplicably, they walk him late in the game to set up the Phillies to win the game. But he pops up in the 10th with a chance to win the game. A brutal weekend for Bohm. And here's where I'm at. 215-592-9494. I'm ready to pull the plug on Bohm as an everyday player. The Phillies now have versatility on their team. And, Hugh, I think down the stretch of the season,
Derek Hill had a big day yesterday, too.
Who did?
Derek.
Well, I'm glad you brought me there. Hill, right? The Phillies have versatility now. They have to put their best nine players on the field because they've shown now they'll move positions and they'll move around. So the way I view it is Bohm's not one of their best nine players. He can play once in a while against a lefty, sure, keep him fresh. But I'm not starting him every day anymore. I'd rather Derek Hill play. I'll put Derek Hill in the outfield. I'll put Crawford, obviously, who's played well lately in the outfield. Obviously, March. Put Bryce back at first base most days. Better defense in the outfield. And sit Bohm down. This is remarkable how many years we have to do this. And then there's Don Mattingly Saturday. Let's see if we buy this. As Saturday, after the Friday night nonsense, they sit Bohm down. He doesn't start the game on Saturday. Let's hear Don Mattingly talking about that after the at-bat Friday, what that was really about.
Yeah, I'm sure he was frustrated last night. Today was planned. So I don't expect to go away from him. He's been really good over there, I think, around the bag. Over the course of the year, there's been some ups and downs. There's been some good sections and some sections that haven't looked as good. but for the most part, he's been a guy that's driven in some big runs for us. Reset is not a great word, I don't think, for this situation. I think it's more this was a normal day that we were going to do. But I do think the day's not bad for him from the standpoint of body-wise and just a day off. In this stretch.
Enough. I mean, just enough. Enough. Forget reset. Pull the plug on Alec Bohm. 215-592-9494. This team is not guaranteed a playoff spot. They are one up on the San Diego Padres. No thanks to Alec Bohm this weekend. One up on the San Diego Padres for the final playoff spot. They need to win games down the stretch, and their best nine right now does not include Alec Bohm. It doesn't. For all the people out there about clutch and RBI, stop. This guy has crushed them all year. This is one of the worst walk years for a contract player I've ever seen. His numbers are atrocious. And then his body language, the tantrum in the dugout Friday night. That Utley night was a special night, and he basically ruined it himself. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? So the Phillies pull the plug on Alec Bohm. They dropped him to eighth in the order. Just put him on the bench. Get Derek Hill in there. At least that guy has some spark to him, some energy to him, has clutch gene to him. I know the Hill thing might not be long-term. Obviously, it's not. But, you know, he's
lightning in a bottle type
but
situation.
But lightning, Hugh, exactly. Hugh, where are you at? Are you ready to pull the plug on Alec Bohm?
You know what, Joe? I got to say this first. The passion that in which you feel.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Done with this
guy. And you know what's funny? This weekend, I saw a lot of memes of everybody talking about these moments that you're referring to and how they're tired of it. So I know the fans are tired of it, but here's the reality of it. There's probably going to be a moment where you're going to need Bohm. So you want to try to keep him engaged. Now, I don't have a problem with, you know, giving him some time off and trying to move things around and just give him a little bit of space. But you want to try to keep him engaged. But I'm kind of with you when you talk about this is over with. Because he alluded to something like that about a week ago, didn't he, when he talked about how, you know, he gets a bad rap for being in the game, finding him in bad situations. But it's almost like – you know you get a bad rap, but that at bat you're talking about Friday, knowing the situation that you're in, and for your instincts to take over the way that they did, and you do exactly what you do in that moment,
right,
is uncalled for. You got to have more awareness in that, man, or at least not lock in so tough that, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah, you're right. And it's been the same results for him for a long time now. I mean, this guy – he's obviously been a disappointing Philly considering where he was drafted, what he was supposed to be. He's not that. And I would even have accepted, you know, this year for him to be mostly what he has normally been for his career, which is average-ish kind of player, right? He hasn't had a terrible career. He hasn't had an outstanding career, but he's just kind of been there. Yeah. And he's been part of the team. This year, he's played bad. You know, he had a little uptick for about 3 or 4 weeks there, you know, late in the first half. It was like, oh, maybe he's saving his season. Look at his numbers. I mean, I'm bringing up moments. We all have moments in our head. Friday night, Saturday night, yesterday. We have moments that we remember with Alec Bohm. A lot of them aren't good. Look at his numbers. They are atrocious. He's one of the worst. 10 or 15 hitters in all of baseball this year, and he's always had these weird supporters out there. I don't understand it. I don't understand what you're watching. This guy should not play for the Phillies on an everyday basis anymore. You know, I understand Hugh's point about keeping him engaged. He's obviously, they're not going to cut him. He's going to be here in some capacity, probably on the bench. That's fine. But there's, I just don't know how any, I don't know how Don Mattingly looks at his team with a straight face tonight in St. Louis that says, we have a better chance to win with Alec Bohm on the field than Derek Hill. Derek Hill has been a better player for the Phillies this year. He gives you defense. He has had clutch hits. He can run. He plays real defense in the outfield. Your defense is better with him. And Bryce at first base is better than Alec Bohm. Just cut this off. I mean, just move it out. And they have gone so far with this Bohm thing. I can't believe it's 2026 and we're still doing this. And the fact that the Phillies are trying to make the playoffs with Alec Bohm playing as bad as he is it's mind-boggling. 215-592-9494. Is it time to pull the plug? Are you ready, after all these years, to finally pull the plug on Bohm? And I say that, I don't mean drop him in the order to eighth. I mean, tonight when the lineup comes out...
He's not even on the field.
He's not on the field.
Not in the lineup.
Sit there and watch it. This guy has been a disaster this season for the Phillies. Kyle, where do you come down as Alec Bohm almost single-handedly ruined the weekend this week?
Yeah, I mean, I could not be more tired of Alec Bohm. Counting down the days until the guy's out of here. It honestly makes me look at Don Mattingly a little bit sideways. The fact that, I get he's hitting eighth now, or was hitting eighth the most recent game, but the fact that he even fixed himself to put Alec Bohm's name behind Luis Arraez in that freaking lineup for as long as he did. Like, Don Mattingly was over a 300 hitter in his career. How does he not, like, want to pull his hair out every single time he sees Alec Bohm go out to the plate and do the stuff that he does? I mean, he's like the anti-Luis Arraez in every way. Like, Luis Arraez comes over, adds this big jolt of energy, and as much energy as Luis Arraez added, Bohm seems to suck right out of the room.
Yeah.
Just not just by hitting behind him in the lineup, but the tantrums that he throws in the dugout. He had another one this weekend, smashing stuff. It's a joke. Like, Luis Arraez goes up there Friday, and he notices that the pitcher's not throwing strikes. What does he do? He sits there and just takes a few pitches until the guy hits the strike zone. And Alec Bohm actually watched that and then went up there and did what he did and swung at the first pitch. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if he's just a dumb baseball player, if he's stubborn, whatever it is. But, like, the whole situation is just absurd. I'm so tired of watching Alec Bohm play. And, like, if Don Mattingly has any self-respect whatsoever...
Damn.
Then they have to stop this commitment to Alec Bohm. Like, this thing is way too precarious to play around with.
Well, absurd is a good word, because it was the theater of the absurd this weekend. Everything he did was wrong. I mean, just the whole weekend. And they're in a spot where this is going to be, you know, the more this plays out, the more you watch San Diego and Arizona, obviously the Cubs are ahead of the pack. This isn't going to just be a walk in the park to get in the playoffs. There have been years in this run where, well, you kind of knew by now the Phillies were in, right? Maybe they win the division, maybe they wouldn't, but you just knew, based on the standings, based on everything, they're going to be in the playoffs. This might not be that kind of year. I still think they will make it, based on their starting pitching and Duran and enough offense at the top, but I don't think this is going to be like with 3 weeks ago in the season, we're talking about resting people, and they're definitely in. They're going to have to
fight. They're going to struggle.
Yeah, they're going to fight.
I mean, they're going to have to stay in it.
They're going to have to play well to make the playoffs down the stretch of the season. And I can't have a player that has hit this poorly. I can't have a player that plays this poor of defense and has no baseball IQ. And look, Dave Dombrowski, we can rip him for a lot of things, and we do. But one of the things he's done well this season is the Derek Hill trade. And Derek Hill is the obvious guy that should be in the lineup for Bohm to be out of the lineup. They have versatility now. They have Bryce Harper. They could play first base, obviously. Put him back there. And you could have a good defense in your outfit. I'm not saying Derek Hill will go in there and light it up and be an all-star down the stretch of the season, all-star caliber. But he probably won't hit worse than Alec Bohm. I know he'll play better defense in his position than Bohm would play in his position. And bottom line is, they will be a better baseball team because Hill will give you better at-bats in big moments. I've watched it all year. I can't believe it's 2026 and we're still doing the Bohm thing. Hugh, and deep down, what strikes me is they know it deep down, right? We've heard, I mean, we know the stories. They've tried to replace him, the Bichette thing,
yeah,
the trade thing.
They tried to trade him and nobody wanted him.
Right,
yeah.
So, like, this isn't, like, deep down, they know. They know he's flawed. They know he's not a great player. And, Hugh, I don't think it's helped him that he's in this contract year. We know the stuff off the field with his parents and the money. Like, I don't think all of this is probably weighing on him. And that's a lot. But, you know, they've given him a long rope here, Hugh. This isn't April where I'm saying this. It's the middle of August. At some point, you got to put the best team on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's part of that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but I think that they feel, you know, especially when you talk about him as glowingly as they did, well, as glowingly as Don did, they feel that there's going to be a need for him somewhere down the line. And you know how these things go. One night you're hot, and the next night you're super cold. So I think that's where they're just trying to do the best that they can to keep him engaged as much as possible. Because he already knows, like I said, he alluded to the fact last week, a couple weeks ago, that, you know, these moments tend to find him quite a bit. And usually he's not a fan of them. But there's a lot at stake here, Joe, and there's a lot to be said about the way he's been playing. When you have been actively trying to trade you for the last couple years.
Yep.
And nobody wants you, and then for you to be in a contract year, that – and I'm not making any excuses, but to be have that weight on you and then have the weight with everything else that's going on, you're in a tough spot. Yeah, I mean, the way that you're playing right now and the way that it has went for you, this might be your last go-round in baseball. You know what I mean? It might be your last go-round.
I'll tell you this. Based on the way he's played, I don't think he's getting a multi-year deal from anyone in the offseason. He's probably going to be a one-year contract for someone. And – you know, you think about Hugh, when Rhys Hoskins left here, his career started to fall pretty fast, and they're different. They're the mm-hmm. same kind of player. But I think this past year, Rhys signed a minor league deal with Cleveland, and he made the team. But, like, Bolt's
yeah,
on that track.
It happens fast, man.
Of course it does. And the guy's had a ton of at-bats. This isn't a young player that is going through his struggles. He's 30 years old. And I just think he has crushed them all season. I actually think we've let him off the hook a lot for this year because other stuff has gone on.
Yeah.
And Dombrowski.
And, you know, the stuff that he has.
Yeah.
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 But you look at his numbers. I mean, he's one of the worst 15 hitters in the game. It's crazy. Steve in Ardmore.
Steve.
Is up on WIP. Good morning, Steve.
Yo, how you doing, man?
Good, Steve. What's up?
I'm listening to you. I know you're down on Bone, and I'm not here to say he's having a great year, but – I just think is he a problem yet? But he's the least of their problems.
Wow.
Did you watch his game? Did you see what Alvarado did? Did you see what Kirkring did?
Yeah. They're bad.
They should not be on the team. It's unbelievable. This guy Alvarado just can't throw a strike. It's crazy to me.
The problem with the bullpen, Steve.
Is he having a bit?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, unfortunately, they don't have enough relief pitchers. Yeah, they don't have enough relief pitchers. So no matter what, those guys are going to get into the game at some point. I mean, Kirkering is a disaster, Steve. I agree with you on Kirkering. I want him. The fact that he's still in the eighth inning is crazy. I know, you know, they've had a lot of long games this weekend, so some of the pitchers weren't available. But the fact that Kirkering is in the eighth inning is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you have Alvarado walking two guys. It's just unbelievable. As soon as they come in, I sort of switch to another channel because I know they don't have a chance to win.
Yeah, we all know where it's going.
Just throwing this out here.
No, and listen, I'm not disagreeing with you that those guys are not. I guess my thing is we can't avoid them. You know what I mean? Like, we can avoid Bohm. They can sit Bohm down tonight. They could play Derek Hill instead. There's only so many relief pitchers. Like, at some point, Kirker and Alvarado have to come in the game. It's like kind of be their day to pitch. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But one other thing I just want to throw out there. Mm-hmm. Bohm, I think he's in his sixth year, right? And it is a contract year. I mean, he didn't ask to be moved to first base. He didn't ask to be back fourth. And if you look at his lifetime batting average, take this year away. Take the last year. I believe it's .279 or .280 lifetime. Yeah, for the first 5 years that he's played in the Phillies.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it might have dropped to 272 or 3 now, but you're right. Before this year, it was probably about 279, 280. Steve, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, like I said, he hasn't been a terrible baseball player since he got to the big leagues in 2020. He's been more average than anything else. This year, though, he's been bad. Like, you look at his season this year, this is the worst of his career. I mean, all the numbers are backwards from the last couple years. Everything. I mean, I guess he has a little more power than last year, but overall, it's bad. I can't. I'm just done. Like, I'm pulling the plug. I cannot have down the stretch of the season into October this guy at the plate. Sixth, fourth, eighth, it doesn't matter. I mean, Kyle's right. Absurd to have him hit number five behind a rise. That was crazy. And we can talk about other problems. There are. They lost 2 out of 3 this week in the Blue Jays, but Bohm, they have an alternative. They have versatility now. They have Bryce that can move back and forth between first and the outfield. Put Hill in. He's better. Will in the Northeast is up. What's up, Will?
Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Good morning, Will. What's up, pal?
Hey, good morning. Listen, man, I've been saying it, and, you know, I mean this, man. Like, I know the owner and the manager didn't get these guys over here just to see how far we could go or see if they're going to make the team better. They are making the team better, but he brought them over here so we could win the World Series, man. Like, all this that, you know, listen, the best, like you just said, and I just told my coworker, the best players need to be on the field. That's it, man, because, listen, it's time for us to make this run. It ain't no more, okay, we're going to just go ahead and go with this guy, even though he's not playing as well. No, man. Either you step up or step off. This is our time to make a move. You know what? I don't feel like it. Like, I'm just joking, baby. Keep it going, because that's what we want to do. Listen, man, it's time. It's time we want these guys in to help us win. These guys are hitting. And guess what? We can't tell them the bullpen. We gotta hit our way to the World Series, just like the Eagles ran their way into the Super Bowl. It's the same thing, baby. The offense is gonna have to play. The offense is gonna have to win. That's what it's all about. We can't count on the pitching. We gotta count on it, hitting, and sticking to it. All the things we gotta do is stick to the script. Small ball. Get people on base. Bring them home and keep hitting. We don't have to knock it out the park. The score. We scored on yesterday. Gilbert, I need you to stay hot. Listen, it's time for everybody that's been on this team to step up. These guys are just same boys. It's outdoing y'all. Y'all need to step up. This is our team. So you guys to be the leaders and show these guys. Down with these guys. And let's get it going. Because we ain't going to be able to do it. The best hitters is not on the field. The best pitcher is not stepping up. So now, this is the time, baby. It's now, or it ain't going to be no never. It's now, baby. The never is gone. It's now. Let's play hard. Let's keep winning. And let's do this thing, baby. Let's go. P-A-L-L-I-E-S. Let's go, baby. We back.
Nailed it, Will. Nailed it. Good phone call. Nice. Spelled Phillies right, which, you know, anytime we go away
from
Eagles.
You never know.
You don't. I mean, these are not words you spell out like that all the time when you chant
them. It was a little touch and go.
Yeah, I was wondering. But he nailed it. Great call by Will. 215-592-9494. All right, we're live at Eagles camp today, reacting to start the show here with a bad weekend for the Phils.
Bad.
And they got to pull the plug on Alec Boehm. I can't. I can't handle him. I don't know how anybody can handle watching him play anymore. Get Derek Hill in. Get Boehm on the bench. Play Hill. Put Bryce back at first. Better defense. Better at-bats. I can't watch the guy play anymore. All right, we'll also tell you about our giveaway today. It's a great one.
We're giving some away?
We are. We'll tell you about it. You don't know about it. We're telling you about this when we get back.
Surprised.
And some big news out of the Eagles facility over the weekend. Not totally surprising, but still very big considering the present and the future of this football team. We'll react to that as well. It is the Midday Show live from Eagles Camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly. Good song choice here by Kyle. As we are live broadcasting back to camp from Jefferson Health Training Complex inside a beautiful Forest River RV by Camping World. Jefferson Health, champions of care, the official health system partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. I'm missing an action Douglas here as he went back out to go hang out at practice here. Well, they're on the practice field, so at least he was watching
the team
practice.
Well, we're on the clock.
Well, we are. I know. We're doing a show here. All right. Your phone calls on Alec Boehm, 215-592-9494. We also have to get into the big news over the weekend, and big news it was. Now, I'll say this before we play the audio here and react. I'm not totally shocked by what we found out on Saturday with Lane Johnson having his press conference and telling us about his future. I'm not surprised. We're getting to the point, and we've gotten there, and we've been kind of building for the last few years to where this felt like it was inevitable that Lane Johnson was going to, one of these years, start to feel like he's probably done. Now, his play has not shown that. He's still a tremendous football player. You know, the injury last year knocked him out for a lot of time, but I didn't think his play fell off. I still think we're talking about one of the best tackles in the NFL. So this isn't about performance. This is now about what he wants in life and what he needs. I mean, the guy's played for a long time. He's played at a high level for a long time. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's been in 3 Super Bowls. You know, he talked this weekend about his kids and their age and his parents. I mean, I am not surprised. I get it. And I do think the whole thing, it's cool once in a while to watch a player still be able to play, kind of go out on his own terms, and tell us ahead of time. So I'm glad we got some sort of an announcement from Lane Johnson. But once we got it, once we got this, it became real, and it did open up a lot of questions in my head. Let's hear Lane Johnson on Saturday, press conference after being away from the team for missing four practices, speaking on Saturday about his future. Here's Lane on Saturday.
Yeah, it's, I mean, as you get older, you know, things change in your life, priorities. You know, your children get older, parents get older, and so, you know, just puts things into perspective. So, man, looking like, man, this is probably potentially going to be probably my last year, just because I am getting to that point of those priorities, you know, away from football are starting to merge. Not that I don't enjoy, I love everything about this game and preparing for it, but that's kind of where I'm at in my career. So, yeah, man, it's looking forward to this year, playing the best I can, and stay healthy, and that's about it.
Hugh, your reaction as Hugh Douglas rejoins us here in our Forest River RV.
You know what my first reaction is? Well, I've been going through changes because I built my life around you. I'm getting older. Children get older. And I'm getting older, too. That's the first.
It is a good reaction. It does fit perfectly. Children are getting older. Getting older.
No, you heard. I mean, that's what I heard.
That was
that's
real.
Exactly
yeah.
what I heard. And I get it. And you know what the thing that I commend him for, man? Nobody, there's very few players that get to lead a game on their own terms. So for me to hear him say that, I'm a little envious. But at the same time, I'm proud of him. You know what I mean? Because he identified, you know, he took a little time off, didn't leave his team hanging, and he decided to come for one more year. You know, and then he waxed poetic about some of the different, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Lane wants to go to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to be a Hall of Fame player, which I think there's no doubt in my mind that he will be. First ballot, I think he'll be a first ballot, but who knows with the way that they vote nowadays? Who knows? I don't know. But I get it. And to leave the game on your own terms is what everybody wants to do. And he's identified for himself that this is his last season. And for him to be able to be in position to say that and give himself 7 months for the last ride, if you will, I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, it is. And, Hugh, I'm glad he's healthy entering this season so we get to see the best of Lane one more time. I agree with you. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Heard Ruben Frank this morning wondering a little bit with those early career
– what are you talking about, the PEDs and
PEDs,
all stuff like that? Yeah.
Would voters hold it against him? I would hope not. And, Hugh, I would think all these years post-suspension, because you know, all his all-pros have come since then. I think he's – played enough post that and dominant enough post that he should go to the Hall of Fame. In my mind,
well, you know
he's a Hall of Fame player.
That people are going to try to hold that against him, and I think he knows that, you know. But he's been a hell of a player. Went for two seasons without giving up a sack, man. And I think since then he's only given up like one or two.
It's incredible.
He's
an incredible football player. All right, so a lot was going through my mind Saturday when I heard it. Obviously, number one, great career, Hall of Fame kind of player, and it's good the Eagles have this year. We have this year, right, to know this is probably it for him. Here, though, the other thought I had right away is, did Howie Roseman and the Eagles know this in April? And if they did know it, well, let's say they didn't know it. Let's say he just decided on Saturday to tell everyone, this is my last year, but they didn't know that back in the draft. Would Mekhi Lemon be an Eagle if the Eagles knew this in April? Because my first thought is no. And I'll tell you why. The number 19 pick in the draft was Monroe Freeling, the tackle out of Georgia. The Eagles were connected to him a lot. Right, and the Eagles obviously were willing to trade up from where they were to go to 20. I think if they know Lane's about to go and they know they only have one more year left, they probably trade up just one more spot or two more spots to get the tackle out of Georgia instead of the wide receiver.
Maybe.
And then also add this. Let's say they couldn't get up, right? The Panthers were locked in. They were going to take the kid. You know, the next pick after the Eagles picked Mekhi Lemon was Max Iheanacho, another offensive tackle. So sandwiched around the Lemon pick was a tackle at 19, a tackle at 21. They took a receiver at 20. Hugh, if Howie knew what we know now, do you think Mekhi Lemon's still an Eagle?
Maybe. But I will say this, that Howie has done a tremendous job. When you talk about him drafting, who was it, Cam Jurgens?
Sure.
To take over for Kelsey.
Kelsey,
yeah. Take over for Jason. So
Mailata for Jason Peters,
yes.
Jalen
so
Carter,
I think
and
that
Jordan
they
Davis
felt,
for Fletcher. Yeah.
So I think that they feel that they probably feel like they have the next Lane Johnson. I think that I mean, it's okay to recklessly speculate that, but I don't think it probably would have changed stuff too much, because what I'm trying to say is the Eagles do a great job of being ahead of the game, if you will,
well,
in situations like this.
Look, they might still be. Markell Bell, their third-round pick, has done really well so far, it seems like, and he might be the heir apparent to Lane Johns. Actually, Lane spoke about him on Saturday during this press conference. Let's hear Lane on Markell Bell, who right now, the third-round pick out of Miami, that he's in position to be the heir apparent to Lane Johns. Let's hear Lane.
Do you see him as a guy who can take over for
you? Yeah, man, he's one of the best rookies I've been around, just as far as being in the playbook. No complaining. I haven't heard him complain one time. And just he's always asking questions. So just a really, mature young man. Handles stuff off the field well. He's just always asking questions. And you can tell he was coached up well at Miami. And, yeah, man, I see a guy with that size and that ability and that wingspan and movement. He can have a lot of success in this business.
Well, Hugh, that's pretty high praise for Markell Bell, the third rounder. And based on now, right, based on the reality we're living in, he's the most likely to be the heir apparent, right? They draft him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that got all those snaps last week when Lane was away from the team. But you mentioned all those guys, how he's picked as kind of the heir apparent. Most of them have been higher picks than Markell Bell. You know what I mean? Like Cam Jurgens was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis, first-round pick.
They targeted probably, higher draft picks.
Right. Now, I'm not saying Bell can't do it. I mean, we've seen third-round picks become starters for a long time in the NFL. But it just made me wonder that. Because it was like you think Lane's probably at the end. But this was the first time he ever expressed it. Like, that felt like his, I'm leaving. I mean,
And he kind of, he hedged a little bit. He said he thinks.
Probably.
Yeah, he said probably all this other stuff. But he's gone. You know, my mindset is that if you're thinking about it that hard, you missed a few days, you're probably gone. You're probably gone. And you know what? Congratulations to him, because he's identified when he's ready to go, and he's ready to go. Like I said, man, a whole lot of cats get to do that. You know, you get kicked out. I got kicked out. I think I got kicked out. Richie got kicked out. Like, we get kicked out the league. They walked out. They walked out, him, Jason, and Brian Dawkins. They kind of walked out on their own power. So, I mean, that you got to commend them for that.
215-592-9494. If your reaction to Lane Johnson announcing this is probably his final season in the NFL, and are you ready to pull the plug on Alec Boehm? I am. Long past ready to pull the plug, but this weekend is it for me. I can't watch him play every day anymore. I don't care if it's first base, third base. I can't watch him hit anymore. I look at it as they need to fight to make the playoffs, and their best team right now on a day-to-day basis has Derek Hill in the lineup in the outfield and not Alec Boehm in the infield. Paul is up on WIP. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Paul. What's up?
All right. As I said earlier, I don't think the whole problem is that Alec Boehm's really that bad. I think he's a pretty good third baseman in all respect. He can fire a ball in the first base. He makes some good catches. He's great. He shouldn't be on first base. He should be back on third. And it's saying that Harper should not be in the outfield. He's too old. He can't make catches out there. He's afraid to chase the ball. Balls are going over his head because he's not judging them. He sucks out there. They need to put him back on first base. In addition to that, you guys are harping on Boehm, but you're not talking about the fact that, Schwarber's leading the league in strikeouts, and he's our designated hitter.
Paul, what good is he doing on the team right now?
Kyle
Schwarber is so much more of an impactful player than Boehm. It's not even close. Like, I understand Schwarber strikes out. He also leads the National League in home runs. Alec Boehm is one of the 15 worst hitters in baseball.
He's not the worst hitter in baseball.
No, Alec Boehm is one of the worst. Alec Boehm is one of the worst 15 hitters in baseball this year. Look at all the players that get as many at-bats as Alec Boehm. His OPS is towards the bottom of the whole league. He's terrible this season, Paul.
How about Harper?
Stinks.
What's Harper's record? Harper did what, 271 or something?
Maybe Alec Boehm's dad or something.
What? We're comparing Harper to Boehm? But Boehm's the worst hitter on the team, Paul. He's the worst hitter on the team that plays every day.
But he's not the worst at. He's not the worst base player on the team either.
But what is he good at?
I think he's pretty good at third base.
Oh, he's fine.
I think he's good at third base.
But he can't hit, Paul. Did you see that at-bat Friday night? Rice has the 10-pitch at-bat, and he stands up there like a doofus and swings the first pitch, hits it right into the ground, Paul.
Right in the ground.
All right. Well, you're getting on that, but you know, you got guys on first and second base, and you get Schwarber up there, and Schwarber strikes out, but you're not complaining about that.
Because Kyle Schwarber makes impact.
I don't understand.
I don't understand
the logic.
The logic is Kyle Schwarber's OPS is 904, and Alec Bohm's is 647, Paul. Yeah, 904 to 647. One is one of the best in baseball. One is one of the worst in baseball. Don't you see that?
I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But he's not contributing. I mean, yesterday he hit two home runs.
Yeah,
and suddenly he's a hero again. But
I mean, but that's how it works.
But he's striking out like crazy. And I don't hear anybody bitching about the fact that he's striking out like crazy.
They've been bitching since he's been here.
We know that's part of his game, Paul. I'd rather him not strike out. And, Paul, we appreciate the call. But I've accepted that Kyle Schwarber strikes out. Many sluggers in my whole life have struck out. Like that you take the good with the bad. What's the good of Alec Bohm?
If Alec Bohm had not been on this team for this entire season, they'd probably be in a very similar spot. If Kyle Schwarber were not on the Phillies this season,
they'd be in a bad
spot. They
would be in a worse
5 to 10 games out of a playoff spot. Like, what are we talking about?
It's funny you bring that up. And I know, you know, we don't use this often on the air because it's kind of convoluted and people don't know how it's how it's put together, the math formula. But we've all heard the stat. We've seen it. You've seen it on the broadcast. WAR, right? Wins above replacement. And the higher the number, the better you are. That's how many wins you provide to your team more than an average player. Alec Bohm has a negative wins above replacement season. That means, in theory, like you could take just a regular replacement player and put him on the team, and the team would win more games. He's the only Philly, I believe, that has a negative one. Like Castellanos had that last year. Like, negative players get benched, cut, DFA'd. It's hard to be a negative player.
Yeah, but why are you not complaining about Kyle Schwarber and his,
well, he's
and
a positive
his MLB
player,
leading?
Right? We don't need any math to know that. He's a positive.
Gotcha.
He helps. And Bohm makes it harder to win baseball games. I can't believe in the year 2026 we still have Bohm supporters. I'm for
believe it.
Why?
Because I mean, they see.
I blame
the good
you.
In it.
I blame you.
It
why?
Is his fault.
Live your truth and all that stuff you tell people.
Well, I've been going changes.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Because I build my world around you.
That's built my life around you, isn't it?
I don't know.
Okay.
What the fuck are you talking about? I just know, man, that's a great song.
Let's go to Violet in Virginia. Violet.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Violet. Hello, Violet. What's up?
All right, sorry. Let me take myself off speaker.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not getting the whole thing about Bohm too. I mean, I know he made some bonehead moves at the plate, but you know what? So do some of the other hitters. I mean, even the new guy, he's starting to freaking swing at the first pitch. I mean, I get it, but you know, Bohm has also made some really nice plays. And that one, I can't remember what game it was where they walked Kyle to get to Bohm, and everybody thought Bohm was going to strike out. And I actually think he either had a deep hit or he actually did something really good. I can't remember now. All the games are blending in.
Sure.
But I mean, and as far as the series this weekend, I hate hearing, oh, you're supposed to, you know, beat these teams, and you're supposed to win by so many runs. You know what? The Blue Jays picked up some guys, and they're a baseball team, too. They're trying to win just as much as the Phillies are trying to win. Now, it stunk because you had all the celebrations, and I really wanted them to win this series. But, I mean, it's just not that bad. Calm down, everybody. There's still a lot of ball to play. To me, it's the bullpen. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the bullpen.
Sure.
Everything else is going to even out.
Well, I'm worried about the bullpen, too. And Violet, we appreciate the phone call. A little feedback there. So we appreciate
calling. Got to turn that thing down.
Yes, the bullpen's. I'm not absolving the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen has issues. Now, Killian, they just picked up, got hurt. So that's not great either. But like, just to go to Violet's point there, she remembered one moment last month where Bohm did something good.
Few and far between.
Do you guys realize like what that means? If we're trying to remember one or two moments over the whole season,
few
where
and far
he did
between.
Good, that means there's mostly bad. I just don't. We want the best team on the field.
Yes.
Okay. In my mind, and you could disagree with me, we could talk about that. I think Derek Hill is a better baseball player right now.
In spurts.
Well, yeah, but he only played in spurts. And Bohm stinks in all spurts. So we have a better defender who's been a more impactful hitter. Get him on the field and get Bohm off the field. All right, 215-592-9494. All right. Well, the Phillies obviously has me frustrated, mostly Alec Bohm from this weekend. The Eagles do not have me frustrated because practice in front of us right now. We're live here at the Jefferson L Training Complex for Eagles training camp practice as a new week begins. We got a football game this weekend. And Hugh, coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, you know what the Eagles are having?
What?
They do it every year, Hugh. They do it once a year.
What do they do?
Well, we get to be here often, and we're privileged to be able to watch practice and hang out in our RV here. But most fans, you know, it's not like the old days, right? We don't get to go to practice as much. The fan base doesn't get to go as much. Some people are here, but not like the old days when Hugh Douglas played, right? Everyone went up to Lehigh. But the Eagles do have the one open training camp practice.
Yeah,
at
it's
the
a
link.
Party.
It is a party. I take my kids' bracelet every year to it, and it's great. And this year it is on Tuesday, August 25th. So 2 weeks from tomorrow is the Eagles open training camp practice. We have, Hugh Douglas, a pair of tickets to give away. Presented, the practice itself presented by Blue Cross on Tuesday, August 25th, 6 p.m. at the link. This event will benefit the Eagles Autism Foundation. For tickets and more information, visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/public practice. So here's what we're going to do today. Hugh, the best answer we get to this today wins the pair of tickets to Eagles practice on August 25th. Hugh Douglas, give us and give to us your favorite what-if. What-if question. Now, this could be about sports. There's a lot of what-ifs. Someone I know just wrote a book about what-ifs in Philadelphia sports.
And I heard the book is pretty fire, too.
Well, you want a signed copy? I'll get you one.
I definitely do. Do you know somebody who can get me one?
Yes, I do. I did write a book about it. WhatIfPhillyBook.com. But we're looking for your favorite one. Now, this could be sports. It could be non-sports. Hugh Douglas, when I say what-if, give me something that pops to your mind.
What if we'd have won that Super Bowl in Jacksonville?
It's a great one.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Would you wear your ring around?
Every day.
I know you would.
Throwing that thing in y'all face like it was everything.
You would not be here with us right now.
Yes, I would.
I don't. That's a good question. Well, that's a fun angle to the what if question. Because every what if has angles to it, right? Yeah. It's like you kind of the branches of the tree.
Yeah.
Would you, Douglas, be slumming it with us on the midday show?
Yes.
With a ring?
Yes.
I think you would have got more and better acting roles.
I did get some great acting. What were you talking
more
about?
And better, more and better.
Only I'm on a hiatus right now.
If you're a champion.
I am on a hiatus.
Now, is that your choice?
Well, it's my choice because I'm doing this. If I didn't love radio as much as I did.
There it is.
If I didn't love this gig as much as I did, I would be in Atlanta making Tubi movies back to back every day. I'd be in high demand with the Tubi acting.
Just burped.
Yes.
Let me throw this one at you off of your what if, Hugh. Do you think the Eagles fire Andy when they fired him if you guys had won? Like he already had a ring here. I don't think Andy gets fired then.
I think he does because I think at that point the message got stale because he made Juan defensive coordinator.
That was a mistake, yeah.
I mean, I love Juan.
It's a mistake. But. I know. 2012 was a disaster. I'm not saying it. Well, I just want, you know, you wonder if he's got the ring under his belt because that
nah,
was.
Nah, because I still remember the conversation I had with Jaws when I was a little tight because they were talking about firing Andy. And Jaws was like, hey, man, sometimes it's time to move on.
Well, that's kind of the Tomlin thing this past year, Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Right? Things do run its course.
Yeah, exactly,
things do run its course. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. I mean, what if Hugh Douglas had 20 more sacks? Then maybe he would have had a ceremony in Canton. Ohio,
maybe,
this past
weekend. Yeah. Hey, yeah.
A ring in 20 sacks? Are you in Canton?
What if the Jets never traded you here?
Ooh.
Yeah. Where would I be? Because I definitely wouldn't be a Jet.
Parcells was done with your nonsense?
Oh, yeah, he was done with my nonsense.
I do like that one. All right, 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. Give us a good what if. Best what if we hear today wins a pair of tickets to Eagles training camp practice August 25th at the link. This, of course, benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. For tickets and more information, PhiladelphiaEagles.com/public practice. It is a great event every single summer. Yes, my book. I wrote one, WhatIfPhillyBook.com. So go check the book out there, and there's a pre-sale right now. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up. We're live at camp today. Elliot will join us later on. We'll continue your phone calls on the Bohm thing, your reaction to Lane Johnson entering his final season. I did wonder, soon as he started talking, would Mekhi Lemon be an Eagle? There's a what if we knew, if the Eagles knew Lane Johnson was going to retire. I'd lean no. I think they would have drafted a tackle in the first round. That's not nothing against Markel Bell. He may be a wonderful player, but there were some high tackle prospects there, especially the kid from Georgia, Monroe Freeling. I think they would have jumped up and got him. All right, coming up on the other side, your phone calls, and we'll let you hear from Sean Mannion over the weekend. And something I heard, I don't agree with. First time I heard it, I was like, I don't think so. I think Hugh Douglas might agree with it. We'll talk about that next. Let's have a Mania discussion. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.